starting new life, we find ourselves getting deeper. Well, I guess winter hasn't started, but it feels like it. And we all go, oh, right? Yes, yes. So last week we had a baptism. So where's Jacob? Jacob, come on down here, bud. All right. All right. That's okay to smile, man. There you go. All right. So we're going to go up there and you can pick one of them bulbs. I think one of our bulbs went out or something because we should be only down. You can turn one of them bulbs, just turn it to the right and it should come on, any one you want. There you go. Great. Awesome. All right. There you go, buddy. Congratulations. All right. Yes. Baptisms are always fun. Love it. So, I think actually we should only have two to go. Is that right? So one of them must have burned out. We'll replace that because this is an important piece for us. So basically 25 baptisms in 2 years. And we're coming up about the second week of January will be a complete 2 years. So we're praying that God will just finish up what he has started. And the thing is, you can't make baptisms happen. That's a Holy Spirit. That's a God thing. So, So, praying for those of you that if you need to be baptized, you need to take care of business. But today I want to share some things with you today that I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a room where you knew the Holy Spirit was prompting you to share the gospel and then your tongue started getting swollen and you just didn't know what to say and you felt like that you didn't want to blow it and those kind of things and you're just like, oh no. Well, we're going to talk about today about sharing the gospel. I want to share two stories with you today. They're both unique. They're both amazing. God is a part of both of those. Sharing the gospel. The gospel is the story of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is that Jesus is the Son of God. That he was the Son of God, born of a virgin birth. You see, it takes faith to believe in God. It takes faith to believe in Jesus Christ. It takes faith to receive Christ. And I think also a part of the sharing the gospel is also sharing your testimony how God as Christ has changed your life. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 8 today, and there's a scripture that is I just really like this. It's in the book of Acts, but we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, but this one here is in Acts chapter 4. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Isn't that we should be saved, that we must be saved. We all need Jesus Christ. God made a plan, and the plan is his plan. I can't change it. God's word says if you want to come to God, you have to go through Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave his life up. Why? Because John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, God loves you, but it's through Jesus Christ that you receive salvation. Once you receive salvation, you are saved, you have that, then God puts the Holy Spirit in you. That means God's Spirit is in you because you don't know right from you. You just can't do it the way God wants you to unless you have the Holy Spirit. And it takes time and growth to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit and to understand things in Scripture. But we're going to pick it up here where we're going to talk about Philip. Philip here is the guy that is going to share the gospel. There's a eunuch that takes care of the treasury for this queen, and he has went to Jerusalem to worship, and he is coming back and going home, and Philip is in the area. God uses us in times when we don't even know that there's a point in time that God is going to use us to share the amazing gospel. Here we find out that in Acts chapter 8, now I got to kind of go quick because I want to run through two of these. So Acts chapter 8, verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, Now, how did he get the Spirit? He got it because he has salvation. So he has the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, go join that chariot. So there's a chariot coming by. He says, when Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said to him, Do you understand what you are reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, let's look at this. Here it is. There's a moment. We've all, so many of us have been here. You see a chariot. We see a chariot. We see this moment going, right? And it's a quick moment. This is one of those moments where you got to follow the Holy Spirit right now, or that moment's gone. So this chariot is going by. It's just a matter of moments. The questions that we're asking many times is, oh my gosh, am I going to blow it? Oh my gosh, what do I say? What do I do? But Philip, he runs to it. He's doing what he's called to do. He runs to it. Because if you don't run, guess what? It's gone. Didn't say he walked. He had to run. Let me just tell you, sometimes when you're sharing the gospel, you got to put some effort in it. So he had to run. He had to run. He had to run. He got to catch up. They don't know each other. But what is that he had went to worship. He's coming back, but he brought something back with him. And it was parchments. It's some pieces. It's a copy of a part of Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Because this is what the scripture says in verse 32. Now the scripture passage that this guy was reading was, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shears, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Lost people have questions. This is the number one thing I hear when people about sharing the gospel. I don't know how to share the gospel. And I'm going to ask you this. Why not? If you are a believer, why not? A lot of times you're just hard on yourself. And I understand that. We don't want to mess up God's work. We don't want to screw it up. We don't want to blow it. We don't want to do those things. But a lot of times it's not that. A lot of times it's just an excuse not to share the awesomeness of what God has done. Everyone that is a believer in here today ought to be able to share the gospel. You're not going to butcher it up. If you are doing your best that you can, God has a way of working through you. So he has this scripture, but he doesn't understand it. Now today, if you don't know the Lord, you read that, you will not understand that. Some of you that are believers won't understand that because you don't get in the Word enough. But the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit, we see this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. That is Jesus. As a lamb is silent before his shears, so he does not open his mouth. Jesus didn't make any accusations when he was arrested or on the cross. He took it all. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Yes, justice was denied him. He was innocent, but he took it anyway. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Of course it was. But verse 34 says this. The eunuch said to Philip, so he's in there. There's this thing. What is making this whole thing a common ground where they can be together? One, it is the scripture. Two, it's the Holy Spirit working. You don't have to have it all planned and worked out. God's going to do his part. So he's up in there. He's in that coach. They're moving along. He says, the eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about? He doesn't understand, but he's reading it. A lot of people pick up the Bible and read it, don't understand it. I would challenge you, if you don't have a relationship with Christ and you're still seeking, keep reading it. Keep reading it. Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. So he uses this scripture like I just shared you. He began to say, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And he said, that's Jesus, man. Let me just tell you, that is Jesus. And he begins to open it up, right? So he begins there. And as they were traveling, so he begins to share the gospel, what we call the gospel. And the purpose for Jesus coming, that all men, as scripture, you know, all men have fallen short. All men have sinned. But verse 36 says, as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there is water. What would keep me from being baptized? So they must have been talking about baptism. So there's a good conversation going on. He said, look, there's some water. What keeps me from being baptized? This man wants to, he's working through this process. But now we come to this kind of roadblock. If you look in your Bibles, I hope you have a Bible with you today. Maybe you can. Maybe you're online. I want you to look at verse 37. Some of your Bibles will have 37 and some of them will not. I'm going to explain to you something. I'm going to read what 37 says. Now, mine is at the bottom. If you don't have it in it, it's going to be at the bottom, pretty safe. 37 says, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, they say this wasn't a part of the original manuscript. It was added in during the King James, it was added later. Now, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It's a filling piece that's put in there for us to understand what was taking place. You don't get baptized until you believe that Jesus Christ, in all your heart, he is who he says he is. This is a piece for us to understand. It is still the Word of God. He said, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart and with all your heart, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I never baptize anybody without asking them. And if you hear, listen close, I'll say, do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? And if you listen, sometimes you don't hear him because the mic is far away, but I can testify every single time I've asked that question, and it has always been yes. If there is a no, I'm not going to baptize. So we need to know today that 37 is real, it is true, it is the Word of God. Whether it's up in your scripture or down in your Bible in the verse or down below. So even in my scripture, even though it's at the below, when I read what would keep me from being baptized in verse 36, it jumps to verse 37 or 38. It just puts 37 down at the bottom. Okay? So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized. So we see a work where an individual was led by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. But it all had to work out. One, God knew that this eunuch was going to go to a place in Jerusalem to worship. You don't always know how God is working in someone's life. You don't have to know always how God is working in someone's life. You have to just be obedient to what God's called you to do through His Holy Spirit. And one of that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man had questions. This man didn't know that someone was going to meet him on the road and share and answer the questions that he had. So this man goes back to, this man's going to go back, and now he went to church, had questions, didn't understand it, but he went home as a believer. That's what churches are for. Where we share the gospel, where we learn about Jesus, where people go home, they come one way and they leave another. Every person needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel is not optional. It's what we're called to do. If we go to, now I want you to turn over, I want to hear another story of Acts chapter 26. Acts has several different stories of people coming to Christ, and every one of those stories are different. Paul is in prison. Let me just remind you, everybody that's in prison is not always guilty. There is a percentage that is innocent. Okay? Now, a lot of them will tell you they're innocent. Paul is innocent. But there's some people that wanted to destroy him and kill him because he is sharing the gospel. And folks, I want to tell you today, there are people in other parts of the world that are incarcerated. They're in prison because they share the gospel. Did you know that people they're not in prison for sharing Buddhism or Hinduism or Muslim? They're in prison for sharing Jesus. Here we see Paul. Paul is in prison. And there's a group that wanted to take him out. And there's a guy named Festus. Some of the Jews are working with Festus to try to set a plan. But along comes King Agrippa, Bernice, and a few others. And King Agrippa wants to hear about this man, Paul. He wants to hear from Paul himself. So Paul goes through a story. He begins to share to King Agrippa and gives him high respects and but he begins to share about who Jesus is. He begins to share about what Jesus has done for him and how he changed and how he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And he begins to go through some things and how the Lord Jesus had spoke to him on the road to Damascus and those things. And so he has shared the gospel. There's a lot in there, but he shared the gospel. Listen, if Jesus is not a part of you sharing, then you're not sharing the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. You can be in it, but it's about what Jesus did for you. How you met Jesus, right? Everyone has a Damascus Road story if you are a believer, which means it's the time when you came to into your heart, into your mind that, wow, I do need Jesus as my Savior. I believe that He is the Son of God. And you begin that relationship with Him. So Paul begins to share about sharing the gospel and what the gospel is and what Jesus has said to him. And we pick it up and now in chapter 26, verse 24. As he was saying these things in his defense, now Festus explained in a loud voice, "You're out of your mind, Paul. Too much study is driving you mad." Now, this is very important here. Who is the person truly that Paul is talking to? He is talking to King Agrippa. This is where the Holy Spirit is pointing the direction. This man needs to hear the gospel. But what we find out, when you share the gospel, there's these other people who begin to poke around and get the conversation sidetracked. I've been in that situation so many times. So many times, just sharing the gospel, and there's a person, and they can be a kind, loving person, but right now, darkness is using them to push away the person who needs to hear the gospel, causing confusion, causing a disturbance in the room. I've had that so many times. And unfortunately, even sometimes babies will act out, or children will act out, when you're sharing the gospel. And I've heard parents say this, "I'm sorry, he never does that. She never does that." And what happens is, "I got to go do something." Distractions of pulling. This is what Festus was doing. "You're out of your mind, Paul." I've been told I was crazy for sharing the gospel a few times too. "You're out of your mind, Paul. Too much study is driving you mad." But Paul replied, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus." He's showing respect because Paul is still a prisoner, okay? And Festus is in charge, but there is a king who is here. He said, "On the contrary, I am speaking words of truth and judgment. For the king knows Paul is being very good." He speaks to Festus in the moment, but he's shifting right back to what he knows and who he needs to be sharing the gospel to. He's not losing track. He says, "For the king knows about these matters." He's turning it back, getting the king to start paying attention, not to the distractions, but back to what they were talking about. "And I can speak boldly to him." Folks, I know sometimes sharing the gospel can make us kind of scared and make us nervous, but I want to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, you become more bold. Don't let the fear come and take it over. That's what that spirit, where Paul and with 2 Timothy, where he's talking to Timothy, he says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But when we share the gospel, we start to feel this fear that comes over us. He says, "I am convinced that none of these things has escaped his notice, since this was not done in a corner." And then he goes, "King Agrippa," this is it, this is the moment, "do you believe the prophets?" And then he says, "I know you believe." I have said that so many times. "I know you believe." I know, because listen, if they weren't in that place, they would not be ready to say, I believe. I believe when you're sharing the gospel, that people, when you say, "I know you believe," there's that moment, the door is open. That moment, because the Holy Spirit is involved in this conversation. Just not you talking about history, but it's a moment when you're sharing the gospel. Someone's life, someone's eternal life is weighing in the balance. And we need to pay attention. Because we act like the gospel is just anytime we want to share it. Now it is, you can share it. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit will be there when you start sharing it. But when the Holy Spirit is divine, pushing you to share the gospel, giving you that open door that you didn't even try to go through, I'm telling you, the Lord is wanting to do something. The Holy Spirit is wanting to do something. And the Holy Spirit never does anything that God doesn't want because it is God's Spirit moving. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. I know that you believe. I know you do. That's that moment of surrender. That's that moment of saying, yes, I believe. And then King Agrippa said to Paul, are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily? Now, you got to remember, King Agrippa, he can have the pressure of everyone around him. It is not the way of Caesar to go to become the life of all these political leaders and all these kings of this area and that area and all these people. They are under Caesar's rule. So here it is. Do you think that you're going to persuade me to become a Christian? Here it is. King Agrippa knew what a Christian was, or he wouldn't have said it. He knows. He knows. Paul says, I wish before God that whether easily or with difficulty, not only you, but all who listen to me today might become as I am, except for these chains. There is a group of people that's listening. Remember, when you're sharing the gospel, there may be someone else listening or others in the room. Don't think that it's just going void. He said, the king, the governor, Bernice, and those sitting with them got up. And when they had left, they talked with each other and said, so they went back and they began to talk with each other. Oh, the worst thing that could happen. But Paul can't. Paul cannot change that. It says this man, so they begin to talk. This man has not doing anything to deserve death or punishment. That I don't think King Agrippa said that. I think it was someone else in the group, once again, to cause another distraction from what the message and what Paul was really talking about. Yeah, Paul said, I need to go to Caesar's, but the whole thing about the arrest piece, they're using this distraction piece as, really, why is he being held as a prisoner? He's not done anything. But King Agrippa said to Festus, this is what he said. King Agrippa doesn't go back in the room. He says, this man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar. Once they left the room, the gospel moment was shut down. How many have you shared the gospel, people you shared the gospel with, and they walk into a room, they come back, and it's completely different. Total distractions, and it's completely different. So many times. The fact is, some of you don't understand what I'm saying today because you don't share the gospel. Some of you don't. Some of you can't understand really what this is about because you're not sharing it. But I want to tell you the value of what's happening. Here we see one story where Philip shares the gospel and someone receives it and wants to be baptized like right now. I mean, pretty excited about it, and they want it right now. Someone else is like, you know, with their prestige and their positions and things, it doesn't mean those people can't come to the Lord, but it seems to be harder because they lean back into the world. And here's a group of people that really, it was about the King Agrippa, but there were other people that heard it, and none of them, as we see here, none of them have received Christ. So it tells us sometimes when you share the gospel, some people receive it. When you share it with others, they don't. Doesn't mean that we stop sharing it. Doesn't mean we stop sharing it with those individuals. But it does tell us that sometimes we do exactly what God wants us to do, but it doesn't turn out what we think and how we think it should go. sharing the gospel, when someone comes to Christ, it's a great testimony. It's a beautiful testimony because someone's life has changed. But when we share the gospel and someone doesn't come to Christ, it should break our hearts because they refuse the most greatest gift of the world. The greatest gift is not winning $1 million or winning the big lottery. Because in the end, if you ended up with $200 million, $200 billion, whatever they give out on these tickets, let me tell you something, you get it, you'll never know how to spend it, and if you do, you'll probably blow it and you'll end up bankrupt because human beings aren't used to really being able to handle that kind of money, that kind of riches. And your eyes will be focused and taken off of Christ and be put on those things. And you'll begin to build up a kingdom here that's not going to last, and it'll fall apart. And when it does, the rest of your family will take it, they'll run with it, and they'll mess their lives up too. But what is unique about what is so much amazing and unique about the gospel, receiving the gospel, it doesn't change your life just now. It changes your life for the rest of eternity. The gospel is something that is free for us, but it did cost Christ his life. I think of the gospel as a part where once I received the gospel of Jesus Christ, it put me in his family. And I know the Father knows how to take care of his family. I wish we would understand and know the precious value of a soul, of a person. I forgot the stats, but today, you know that some people are going to die today. People are going to die today in accidents, hospitals, car accidents. You know, people are going to die in their homes. Somebody's going to murder someone. It's going to be all those kind of things happen today. We just see it as news. But there's a constant running back and forth. There's those who are going to go to heaven and those who be with the Lord, and then there's those who are going to be separated. The value of a soul is that person, does that soul belong to Christ or does it belong to themselves and to the world? I don't know how the death thing, I don't know how the angels run it, but it's got to be fast and quick. Your person breathes their last. And hell is full of kings and presidents and queens and poor people, rich people, hardworking people. It's filled with good people. But they all have one thing in common. They didn't have Jesus. But the other side does. A soul. A person. You have opportunity this year to be in your Christmas times with your family or whatever you're going to do. And there'll be some in your family that doesn't know Christ. I'm asking you, why are you not praying for them? To ask God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel. Asking opportunity, you know, that Lord help me get through the anger that I have for them. Because really, division really is, there's sin somewhere in it. I'm glad that someone shared the gospel with me at the age of 12 and thought it was important enough to share the gospel. I'm glad the Holy Spirit was working in my life to draw me to a place where I had an opportunity to be like King Agrippa, where I didn't understand a lot, but even in a crowd, when I came to Christ, I did it in a crowd. But I was also like the eunuch that had some scripture in front of me, but I didn't understand it. But someone was there explaining to me what it was. I don't think for us coming to Christ is for us to sit back and do nothing. I think that we are to share what we have with others. In the sense of sharing that eternal spiritual blessedness that we have. I am saved, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. If you have Christ, you're saved because who he is and who he is in you, and that alone. Paul was in prison, and he led a jailer and his family to Christ, and they were quickly baptized as well. Not everybody wants to hear the gospel. Not everyone wants to hear the story of Jesus. Me and my middle son Tyler were knocking on doors in this community. We were inviting people to come to church on the Easter service. We were over there somewhere over there behind St. Pete's Church over there. And we went, and I said, hey, okay, you can knock on this door. So he went up and knocked on that door, and he's probably about like this. He was pretty small. It was just me and him, and we were all split up in groups. There's a bunch of guys in there. And usually when you're crowded up with your guys, we got to puff up like we're really tough. A couple boys in there were playing. And we went and knocked on the door, and basically they said, what do you want? And my son, I let him do this one. You know, hey, can I give you this? And we're having a thing on Easter. I think it was Easter. And he said, no, just pretty much crunkled up the paper. We don't want none of that. You all can just get on out of here. And he's just like, huh? We walked back. He didn't feel good about it. And I said, he said, what do we do now? I said, buddy, we go to the next house. That's what you do. You go to the very next house. You know how I knew that? You know how I knew that? Because when I was 13 years old in Fort Wayne, over there were on the southeast side of town, we were knocking on doors. And I had that, and a lady turned around. I knocked on the door. They said, Jimmy, this is your... So it was my very first house I ever knocked on. Knocked on the door, lady says, and I'm from this church or whatever. And she just went, boom, and I heard her cussing and all this. And I was like, what in the world? And they took me by the hand. One of the leaders took me by my wrist and said, how to get through that is go to the very next door. And the very next door, we began to talk. And then I stepped out of the way because I was out of my league with what this lady was talking. They began to talk and praying with this woman. I can't remember all of it, but this is what I know. It's very fearful walking up to a door. And I'm not talking about walking up. It's very fearful to talk sometimes with people that you don't know. Most of us today, we're introverts. We struggle with it. We don't always have to be talking to strangers. The eunuch was a stranger to Philip. King Agrippa, not really a stranger, but a stranger to a point. The jailer, stranger. But there's so many of our own family that are much closer that we can talk to that we're not talking to. So they slam the door on your face. So they say a few words. Listen, you're not the first one and you won't be the last. Because the name of Jesus is offensive. The name of Jesus is offensive. Sharing the gospel actually is a privilege, folks. It is a privilege. It's an honor, really, when the Holy Spirit chooses you to share the gospel. It isn't because that you're great and awesome, but I'm also reminded that Scripture says in James where the fervent, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which basically means that a person who is walking with the Lord in the best that they can, in a Christ-like manner, their prayers are powerful. I think that's also in the sense of what you can do for the Lord can be powerful if you are living the way God wants. You're usable. And what greater thing to be able to share with someone than the gospel? Some of you, I've led to the Lord, and it's amazing because I don't remember everyone that I've done, but I don't need to. You do. That's your story. I've shared the gospel with some of you and led you to the Lord. And it doesn't mean that I'm great. It just means Jesus is great. Baptized many of you. It doesn't mean I'm great. It's all because you don't baptize. I don't baptize in my name. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I'm replaceable, but He is not. The only name that you get through, if there is a password, we have passwords on our phones, we have passwords on our computer. If there's a password that gets into heaven, it is this, Jesus. That's it. Don't put anything else on it. He don't need no hooks. He don't need no strings. He don't need attachments. This is Jesus. The question is, do you have Jesus in your life or not? And today I can tell you, with 100%, without doubt, I can say, I do. And it's not because I'm a preacher or a pastor. It's because I know that in my spirit, it testifies with his spirit that he and I are one together. And anybody gets out of hand, it's me. Anybody gets off track, it's me. If anybody does anything wrong, it's me. I'll take the hit because I've done it. But what's amazing is the Lord just keeps working with you, keeps building you up, keeps working with you, keeps moving with you. Even when you're down, he's there. The gospel. You either have it or not. And that's my question this morning. Do you have salvation in Jesus Christ? The password is Jesus. Either you do or you don't. You're like the eunuch. I'm interested. I don't understand it. Today, hopefully, I've explained decently what the gospel is. And if you don't, we're going to have an opportunity for you to receive. Ooh, that sounds like a lot of pressure, doesn't it? It feels like pressure, but it's not. It's actually freedom. It's actually freedom. And if you know that you should be sharing the gospel for the rest of you and you've not done it, or you've been lazy and not been doing it because you just your life isn't where it needs to be, that's a sign you need to get yourself right with the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.